The pattern of the dialogue is like the pattern of the temple and the house and the garden. Everything is spare, elusive, uncluttered, infinitely extended, just as the mat on which we sit seems to flow outward and merge with the sand of the pathways and the ripples made by the carp in the garden pools. Muso Soseki is a monk of the Zen cult. He is also poet, gardener, master of calligraphy and the art of printing from wood blocks. The brushstrokes of his name signify window that opens on a dream. He is 75 years old, sturdy, brown, and weathered like an aged stone. His face is calm with benignity and bright with humour. He has agreed to accept me as his pupil and, using the methods of Zen, to jolt, prod and jar me towards the moment of intuition and illumination which is called Satori. I have need of illumination, great need. I am only sorry I did not wait to find it 3 years ago, when, after the death of my wife, George Groton brought me down here for the first time. I was ambassador then, a gilded personage in the diplomatic drama of Tokyo. Look at a map. Mark the vectors of political force in Asia, and you will understand the nature and extent of my influence. I did well, I think. I have a flair for language, a taste for exotic custom, an ear for the minor key. These are valuable assets in an esoteric civilization. Whatever else I had was not mine by nature, but a gift from Gabrielle. She had charm, tact, humour, and luminous harmony, which spilled over from her life into mine. When she died, the harmony dissolved into a crashing discord. Every fissure and fault in myself seemed to open at once. I had never had any firm beliefs of a spiritual kind, and, being deeply blessed by a loving woman, I had never felt a pressing need of them. I had religious feelings. I was not averse to attending church services. I managed even to enjoy them when official duties demanded my presence. For the rest, I was content with the comfort of my household gods, and of the priestess who ministered to them and to me. Now that she was gone, it was as if all my shrines were tumbled down at once, and I must plough them underground away from the light. I refused all sympathy. I became brusque, energetic, meticulous. My staff found me unbearable. My colleagues were alienated. Only the Japanese, a schizophrenic people, seemed willing to accept my need of a period of curative madness. Of my own people, only George Groton, the very junior third secretary, was shrewd enough to see what had happened to me. He was not abashed by my anger, nor put out by my arrogance. He was diligent, good-humoured, and quite unafraid. He was tall, gangling, bespectacled, with stooping shoulders and a shock of sandy hair. Yet in rare moments of softness, I found myself wishing I had had a son like George Groton.